Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Jakees, we are joined by a great guest, somebody who's been on the show before. We tried to get him again. They're so busy. You know what I mean? They said, oh, hold up, man. Let me get my assistant to holler at you real quick. That day is not going to work for me. This person is not just a talented person. They're a brilliant MC, brilliant producer. Ooh. Straight from Detroit, Michigan, you know, where basically the greatest beat makers of my memory come from. If people fuck around with the culture, they know about Detroit. But I am thrilled and pleased to welcome our guest, Illingsworth.
Oh,
what's up, Illingsworth?
Hello. I'm good, man. I'm glad to be here. If y'all want me to get into the real reason why I was not on before, I can.
I know. I was okay.
That's up to you.
I set it up like that because I remember the day you were supposed to be on, and we said, "Yo, he hasn't called in. We don't know what's going on." And then tell us what happened that prevented you from coming on a few weeks ago.
All right, I'm gonna try to give the abbreviated version. Long story short,
okay. You can give the long story. I mean, it's interesting. Well, if it's interesting, please, by all means.
Well, I'll put it like this: an unlabeled bag of candies ended up in front of my father, and my father is the type of person where it's like, if it's in my reach, it's mine. So he just indiscriminately ate these candies until they were gone. Only to find out later. That they had a little bit of the ganji ganj inside of them, and he had a rough evening. in many ways I am proud of my father, but in that day, in that moment, I was very ashamed at his gullibility and just. Like level of like you are so naive. An unlabeled bag of candy, you just go eat every last
right.
piece.
I mean, did he a whole bag of edibles?
I know.
Yes.
Is it okay? How many? What are we talking? Like you didn't even open this bag. We're talking.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to like act like I don't indulge from time to time. But this bag actually belonged to a friend.
Okay.
Who had left it around.
You can just tell. The shit belonged to my friend.
Yeah, we ain't cops, man.
It wasn't mine, man. I was just saying, like, it was left around him. As far as I know, there were as little as 6 pieces and as many as 20 in this bag. It was like a Ziploc, like a completely unlabeled, unmarked, you know, with... And y'all know how edibles look, man. They don't look like any kind of store-bought candy. They look very man-made. Yeah. Like, why are you just dumping just these into your gullet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're going to eat it. You'll be like,
eventually you're going to taste the weed.
Jujubes have gone
back. You can taste the weed.
Yeah. And that's what prompted him to, like, get in contact with me, you know, to find out, like, what was going on with him.
Because
he was feeling real strange.
Was he going through it?
Oh, he was going through it. It was incredible from my perspective.
Right.
You know, I actually, like... This kind of fits into, like, you know, the pandemic health crisis or whatever. But I took him to the emergency room and, you know, they took his information. We sat in there for about 2 hours and didn't get any help. And I'm just looking at him. I'm like, man, you gonna be all right.
Yeah.
So we just dipped. We just ended up dipping.
How long was he high for? Was he high all day? I know he was high all day.
He was probably high until like the next day or 2 days, perhaps. Wow. You know,
be careful. You know,
this is great.
I saw him a couple times, and I'm like, yo, man, you are, you know, you're a little bit more verbal than usual. Like, my dad is one of those, like, very, like, stoic, I only say what I have to say type dads. Right. And he was just like, are you talking a lot today? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Like laughing at some shit. He's like, look at that crow. He's like, what?
Yeah, he was a little different. But, you know, as soon as it got out of his system, he went right back to, like, regular right nonverbal dad.
Right. Right back to stoic statue dad.
That's the thing about edibles. They'll, you know, for me, when... The few minutes where I'm like, did I take too much? It's when you start feeling your heart beating.
Right.
And you start feeling how slow it is or how fast it's going. Yeah. You're just like, this is it. I'm going to be the first nigga to die from weed. And that thought get buried in your head.
Hey.
And that's rough, man. That's a rough hour.
That's what I thought was coming from my dad. Because, you know, he was, I feel strange.
Right.
My mouth is real dry.
Right.
Like, just all kind of, like, you know, just the fact that he was telling me something about how he was doing internally was always strange. Like,
right.
Like, oh, he's in trouble.
You're like, oh, shit, he's telling me about his internal experience right now. He's articulating his internal experience.
He's giving me a glimpse into his inner world. Something's wrong.
Yeah, like, in case of emergency, break glass. It's happening. Yeah, I mean, it's a slippery slope. But hey, when you know how to use them, great time. One of my fondest memories of taking edibles was actually at the Art Institute of Chicago. Last time I was in Chicago. Just strolling through there, fucking high as shit, listening to my music. And I was like, this fucking place is the fucking, this is it. Chicago, I love you.
That's very great.
What's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
It's the most recent thing that I've searched is Roald Dahl books. That's the person I've been. I got rid of all my books, and that's all I've been doing is trying to rebuy stuff. And I'm also like, but also I'm doing it in the vain way where I'm like, what books would look good to people when they walk by it?
Right.
Do I have to read it? No, but I want to make sure people think I'm smart enough to read it.
On the plane, I do that with music. I'm listening to some fire shit. I make sure the phone is like right on the edge of the table. So when people walk past, it's like, my man got some good ass taste in music. Yeah.
Just holding it up like this.
Just like, holding it up like, stretching and yawning with my phone, just like toward everybody so they can see the song that I'm playing.
Real easy. You're like, you're stretching and yawning, but you turn up the brightness on your screen. You're like, brightness up so y'all can see that. Okay.
Of course. You got it. So I get that. I feel that, Solomon. I feel that 100%.
You got rid of your book? What do you mean you got rid of your book? Like,
well,
were you
like,
moving?
I just like, never like restocked. Like, I've never had like a, like, I've like, I probably have like 20 books on me now, but like I used to have a whole, like before I moved to LA, I had like books. I had a shelf, like shelves of them. And now I'm like, all right, I need to get into the place where I have a bookshelf to show off.
How do you feel like in the Kindle era? Cause like books used to be like in college, my way to be like, yeah, I read that shit. And you could tell by the way the spine is creased. I did that before you came here. So it looked like I read this shit. Like, and now like with Kindles and stuff, I love the convenience of it, but I do sort of miss the physical, the tangible aspect.
I don't actually read it when I buy it on Kindle. That's the thing. It's like, I get on Kindle, I'm like, all right, it's there. Like, it's just like, I need to have the paper to like flip and get my, like, it's like, there's like a goal to finishing it that way. Like, you don't know, like if you're in the middle of a book and you see that little fold, you're like, I can finish that. You don't get that from a Kindle. It doesn't tell you you're halfway through and you're just like,
that's true.
I'm like, do I need
you
to
gotta like scroll to like the bottom and be like, all right, I got another 50 pages. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Right. This one's like, you're 40% of the way through. I'm like, I don't even know how to, what 40% is if I'm not looking at the full thickness of the book. Yeah, but
I need to see it.
Right.
It's like, I just like holding books. I like having them around. I like just the physicality of it. I like that I know that I'm killing something, like a tree, maybe.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm definitely like, I'm not getting like new books. I'm getting like old books. So it definitely looks like I read them, even though it was hundreds of other people that did it before me.
What's another book? So you got Roald Dahl.
I got the whole collection, the whole Roald Dahl connection. I also, because I just saw the movie, I got all the Dune books again because I read them when I was younger.
Gotcha.
All I'm doing is buying books that I've already read. So I'm really, gotcha. I haven't read. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's the shit that I remember reading going like, I like that. I want this to be in my possession.
That's good.
Right. And then if someone sees it, they don't have to pull your card if they ask you about it. You know about it because you're like, no, I read. Oh, yeah, I definitely. Yes. Let's go. Oh, yeah. You want to talk about Shia LaBeouf?
I'm also very good at lying about reading or watching something that I have not read or watched.
Right.
Movies, music. I've always been like, yeah, I saw that. I don't want to be the person who didn't see that and get that, like, I can't believe you've not seen that. I'm like, I don't have time for that conversation.
Right. Yeah. They're like, you haven't, of all the people that I thought would have seen it, it would have been you.
You.
Yeah.
You're like, well, sometimes that shit happens, all right?
And I saw it, so you don't have to worry, because of course I saw that shit.
My go-to is always, oh, yeah, I saw that, but it's been a minute. It's been a minute. So that way, don't nobody make me talk about it. Like, oh, I don't remember it that much. I saw it. When it came out, I saw it.
I say I watched it, but I was stoned. So
yeah,
I don't really
remember.
That's
always easy. And also true. There's like shit. Like people remind me, like you did see that. I'm like, really?
You were at your niece's birthday party, was I?
Right.
Really? I don't remember that at all. Actually,
What's something you think is overrated, Yara?
Okay, so this I had to think about. Overrated, there's a couple things. I don't know if I'm going to get hate here. I think Shake Shack is overrated. Okay, we're in agreement.
I mean, I'm just saying, go ahead and say it because people a lot of times come on, they're like, I don't know, this is a hot take, man. In-N-Out sucks. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's fine. I eat it, but I'm not going to, I've lost the energy to defend it. Wait, tell me specific, because Shake Shack for us in LA was like, oh, shit. Shake Shack. And I was fucking with it. I remember that first week. I had it like three times the first week. And then it's like when I'm around, sure, I'll get it. But what's the perspective from you? Because you live in New York, right?
Yeah. I live in New York. I'm from California. I do prefer In-N-Out when that question comes up. Okay. And I like their fries. I don't care if they're not as crispy or whatever. Anyways, but Shake Shack, I just feel like their burgers are kind of dry and like given all the like fuss about them. It's, oh, my God, there's a Shake Shack opening up. And, you know, it doesn't really, the burger's just kind of dry. It's not juicy. I much prefer In-N-Out's, like, it's more moist. It's more tender. I don't know if they cook it a little bit, like, less. I don't know how it works. Yeah,
they salt that patty.
That's kind of the thing.
Because I normally find Shake Shack burgers to be greasy.
Ah.
Not so much, not, like, moist as in, like, a nice moist burger on the inside, but greasy as in, like, what's the shit that go the bun? I couldn't think of the word bun. Mm. The bun that goes
comes
over
translucent.
I'd be feeling it. So that's what I get from Shake Shack. So it's interesting that you find them to be a little more dry. Maybe New York.
I don't know. I mean, I see the I see the greasiness, and I think the dryness also comes from, like, they purposely smash it. That's kind of one of our techniques. And that That's gets true. That, like, browning of the meat, which creates a lot of flavor, but all you also lose effect. A lot of juice, I think. So, yeah, exactly.
So, two different things. Juice and grease are not the same, y'all.
No, exactly. And that's the problem we have in this country, is that we are mistaking juice for grease.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I keep saying.
Yeah. Although I will say from Shake Shack, I like Shake Shack. It's okay, but I will say the, I don't love it. It's okay. It's just, it's whatever. It's a burger. It's expensive. I can go get a double-double for like $4 cheaper, but...
Yeah.
Yes. But I do love them. I do love the cheese crinkle cut fries. Those hit.
Yeah.
Those do hit.
The animal style though, are they better than animal style?
See, I don't like animal style.
People don't like In-N-Out fries. Yar, I'm with you. I get the. I purposefully order them soft.
Yeah.
I asked for light fries. I said, let me get light fries. They're like, oh shit, you really got nobody in your corner.
Yeah, man.
But what's the best burger in New York, would you say?
Ooh, okay. Funny you should ask. This is so funny that because just a few months ago I went for the first time. There's a place called 7th Street Burger. It's in the East Village.
Okay.
It is the most simple thing. It's just meat, diced onions. I think there's a pickle, a slice of cheese. I don't think they put anything else in there. Buns are perfectly soft and supple. They are tender. They have the browning going on that Shake Shack has without the loss of juice and tenderness. Oh. It's just like, holy shit. It's so simple. It's a bunch of like college kids there, late night, you know, folks.
Yeah.
It's not like a sit down place. You grab your burger, you go. It's cheap. It's affordable. It's delicious. And it's been renewed. I think one of the Bella Hadid or Gigi Hadid, one of them went to it and then it got you know, some notoriety after that. So amazing place. Cheap, delicious. Highly recommend.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Underrated, Paige, what is something that you think is fucking underrated?
Okay, I want to bring this up because I'm hoping it could maybe open a larger conversation about rom-coms and what we like in rom-coms.
Fuck yeah.
But this happens to me all the time. I see a movie and I enjoy myself and then I find out people think it's stupid, or the flip. It's like, I'm like, that sucked and everyone loves it. And I really had a great time seeing Marry Me, the new J-Lo movie.
Marry me, marry me, say yes. Marry me, marry me, say yes.
I think it's underrated.
Is that the theme song to the movie?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the titular song to the film. They performed it so many times. I don't know which version I like. The one from the film, the one that they did, like, IRL at the performance. Paige, I'm kind of with you on this. I don't know why.
Fun.
I barely, it takes a lot for me to take my ass to see a film that's been released. I will watch if something I perceive to be like, quote unquote, shitty or campy. I'm fucking there.
Yes.
Like, immediately. And yeah. I saw Marry Me like maybe 5 days after it came out.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's good.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, I feel like I'm realizing that unless a movie is actually funny, like say like a Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I rather it just be like mostly rom with like sprinkles of com, which I feel like Marry Me has. It's like mostly just kind of like a cheesy movie with like,
oh yeah.
And then like there's little moments of comic relief, but
yeah.
Like I saw The Lost City.
Right.
It was like fine. I was like, this is more trying to be funny than it is trying to be like cute. And
the
I was
Lost
like,
City
this
is a rom-com? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a movie about, I don't know, ancient war or some shit.
I know. When I saw it, I was like, is this title. Uncharted but with fucking?
I literally couldn't remember the title. I kept being like, the Sandra Bullock movie. Like, I was like, I can't remember what it's called.
That one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. With Channing Tatum in.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sandra Bullock, that one.
That one.
Okay, because I want to see Lost City, but for different reasons, because people say it's fun, it's like it's got all these things going on, but like Marry Me, when people say, oh, you watched, the first reaction when I tell people I saw was, oh, you watched that?
I got the same reaction where it's like, oh, I heard it's like terrible, they don't have good chemistry, and I'm like,
yeah,
it's not like a sexy movie, but
no, it's also it's just funny to see Owen Wilson. Yeah. Trying to pull J-Lo, and you're like, this is so incongruent. There's nothing I can, like, even, like, the setup doesn't make sense. The moment where he's like proposing by really just passively. Oh, yeah. And it's like, you have no reason to say yes, Owen Wilson. This woman just said, I'll marry you. You have no motivation going into this scene to suggest that you want to be married. But then you get married and I'm like, fuck it. I love that nobody even gave a fuck about even that most basic premise of storytelling.
I think his motivation was twofold, Miles. I think one, he wanted his daughter to think he was cool, right? That's the whole reason he was at the concert in the first place, okay?
Begrudgingly,
and
right?
Secondly, he felt for her in that moment. He didn't want to embarrass her. So he said yes. I think that's what went. That's what went into it.
And even that's a huge reach, but I love it.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson, low-key. Be pulling these fine ass women in these movies. He had Rachel McAdams twice. Wedding Crashers. Y'all ever see Hall Pass? You remember that movie Hall Pass?
No, but I mean, I know
about
it.
The girl he pulling that fine, boy, she fine as hell. Like what? Owen Wilson, you can't stop. And then J Lo, come on. Owen Wilson is the poster child for. Damn, she with him.
That's kind of what the movie is.
Oh, totally.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes
a lot
sense.
Of that.
But there is like the cheesiness I love that was kind of, you know what it is? It reminds you of shit from the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
Where like the jobs weren't rooted in reality.
Yep.
Even the portrayal of these things were not rooted in reality. You're just like, yeah, she's a pop star. That's what she does. She sits in a glass high rise suite and someone does her hair while she texts. And that's why she's busy today. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Simpler times. Simpler
and he's
times.
A teacher, and that's likable, and that's enough. They go, okay, he's nice.
Look,
and that's
he's
all
nice.
There is about him.
Sarah Silverman's his friend. What more do we have to say here? He's fuckable, okay?
It's very formulaic in the way that I wanted it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
It was satisfying. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love a good rom-com. Yeah, love a good rom-com.
Would you guys have a favorite rom-com that comes to mind?
I love One Fine Day.
Oh, that's a good one. One Fine Day.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen that one.
Oh, with George Clooney and Michelle Pfeiffer?
Looks like I know what I'm doing tonight. I'll be checking it out.
I don't even know why. I only say that because it was like I went on a date in sixth grade. That was like one of the first movies I went on a date to see.
Yeah.
Shout out Kristen, who went with me. And yeah, now that's been implanted in my mind. But I like a few. What about you, Jaquise?
I have two that are like top for me. Hitch is one of my favorite movies. And My Best Friend's Wedding. Classic rom-com.
Very classic.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess you can consider Forgetting Sarah Marshall a rom-com, but I do forget that that's technically a rom-com. I love Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It's a rom-com. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is so fucking good.
It's so fucking good. It's very good.
It's so good that you forget it's like 2.5 hours long. You're like,
yeah.
It's so good. I think my favorite has to be 10 Things I Hate About You. I just love that movie. It's just, it's so good.
Okay.
It's a good
I've
one.
Seen
it's
it the most, I feel. Yeah.
Maybe, and then The Best Man. Maybe it might be. Another
The Best Man, yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Is that a comedy? Maybe I'm thinking of that last sad one. Would it, like somebody died or some shit? It was like The Best Man's Funeral or some shit.
Oh. The follow up. The rom coms though, they're just. I think it's the same reason why I like holiday movies, like bad Christmas movies, because they're predictable. They're not going to throw me off. They're not going to challenge me emotionally.
Yep.
Like art would.
Yep. Exactly. There's a place for people underrated is the concept of just watchability. Like it doesn't have to be incredible. Sometimes you just want to watch something.
You just want to watch something.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. I reject just, that in whatever. Order to enjoy movies. I reject that in order to enjoy movies, they have to be good. Like, that's a weird notion to me.
It's just up to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, watch whatever the fuck you want.
It just has to be enjoyable.
Justin is asking, The Princess Bride count? Yeah.
I think so.
Of course. You know,
Won't Andre the Giant?
There's romance at the center of it.
It's a little, I mean, I guess it's tough because a lot of movies do just have a romantic storyline, and then you start to get into the weeds of like, is this like a classic rom-com? I think Princess Bride. It's been so long since I watched it, but
yeah, it's been a minute.
It could qualify.
Yeah, I think so. I think you could put that in there. Why not?
Why not?
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back to talk about the news right after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and Jenny Thomas is, yeah, just very, very disturbing, very disturbed.
Yeah.
This is Justice Clarence Thomas's wife, and, you know, she has some very controversial things to say about the 2020 election.
Very nice and controversial things.
Some very Q-brained, left the planet. Like long before we even realized to say.
She said, my home planet needs me, and dissolved into the air about 5 years ago. But yeah, she's been all over the news. You know, like initially a lot of it was like, yo, she's a super active activist on like the far right. She has a lot of ties to the organizing of the January 6th rally. And people are like, ooh, that's a terrible fucking look. And then last time we talked about her, we were talking about this puff piece that she was in this conservative outlet where she was sort of like framing her involvement in all of this like insurrection shit as like, I was just a concerned American, you know? And like, and honestly, when it started popping off, I like wasn't feeling great. So I left. So I didn't get to like bash the Capitol Police with a barricade and then steal something from Nancy Pelosi's office. I left at that point. And all of this information probably should have been enough for Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from any Supreme Court decision involving January 6th. But
or just quit. I don't know.
Nah. It probably won't because, you know, he was the lone dissenter in the 8-1 decision to not shield Trump's documents from the January 6th committee. So that means Amy Carmy Barnett, Brett Carbonara, and fucking Gorsuch, like all the Trump people, they were like, nah, this is, we're not that craven, but
right.
Fucking Clarence Thomas did. And it would,
now
might not
we
surprise
know why.
You. Yeah, because we start seeing Washington Post has these texts, right, from Ginny Thomas to the chief of staff of Trump's White House, Mark Meadows, who's, by the way, under investigation for voter fraud because he said he was living in a like a trailer in North Carolina that he actually didn't. So that's on his plate also.
Oh, but just like straight up claimed to vote from a place like that kind of voter fraud?
Yeah, they're like, you live
like
in Virginia.
High level.
No, yeah. And his wife filled out the thing, like filling out papers that say, this is a felony if you like wrongfully, like if you fill this out incorrectly or misrepresent where you live. And they're like, yeah, don't worry. I'm white, honey. Watch me do this shit.
Wow. And the one thing that they accuse us of.
Right, exactly.
Not the and one thing, but the
chief
like
of staff, yeah. Right?
And like tax fraud.
Yeah, exactly. So these texts come out, right? And they're from, again, the wife of a Supreme Court justice to the chief of staff of the president. On the day after the election, she texted Meadows a fucking link to this YouTube video from this guy who's, you know, this guy named Steve Pachenik. And it says, the Trump sting with CIA director Steve Pachenik, the biggest election story in history, QFS blockchain. She tweets this to Mark Meadows and says, quote, I hope this is true. Never heard anything like this before or even a hint of it. Possible? Watermarked ballots in over 12 states have been part of a huge Trump and military white hat sting operation in 12 key battleground states.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Now, we've talked about this. We talked about this in the lead up to the election, right after the election, because this is the thing people are saying is that Trump was actually working with the military to have these like watermarked ballots. So it would be clear that the fraud ballots that the Democrats were trying to use would be easily identified and could be pulled and would prove once and for all who the real cheaters are. That never happened. That wasn't true. But
wait, that was a theory they had that Trump had done something or that the Democrats had like watermarked it with invisible ink.
Yes, that was.
Did
a thing
it involve decoder rings as well? Like, because it definitely feels like some shit that my kids would be like making up as part
of
their,
would you do the invisible ink?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Invisible ink, a paper fortune teller. And that's how you knew how to decode all of this stuff. And first of all, that video is from a guy who's on InfoWars with Alex Jones constantly, who says stuff like Sandy Hook and the Vegas mass shooting were false flags. And like, so that's the universe where his Ginny Thomas is like, check out this guy's video, huh? This could work, right? To overturn the election results we're seeing. So you could tell from the beginning, all of her energy was in the, this result isn't real. We have to do everything we can to stop it. Then, if that wasn't weird enough, she texted this a few days later. Quote, Biden crime family and ballot fraud co-conspirators, elected officials, bureaucrats, social media censorship mongers, fake stream media reporters, etc., are being arrested and detained for ballot fraud right now and over coming days and will be living in barges off Gitmo to face military tribunals for sedition.
She sent that to
Mark
the fucking
Meadows.
Chief of staff?
Yes. Yes. She
Wouldn't
went.
Did he know that if that was happening?
The wild shit is apparently they say the flow of the text is like he didn't respond for like 10 days. She just kept being like, he was like, oh shit. Okay.
Did she hit him with the like question mark thing and then like the exclamation
like, hey,
mark
did you
thing?
Get this text?
Did you get
oh
this?
Yeah, emphasize. Yeah, right. Oh, just like nine passive aggressive. Yeah. That's not even bad. That's aggressive as fuck at that point. Yeah. So then so she goes down this whole thing again. She's sending this to the chief of staff, trying to be like, pay attention to this stuff. She even was saying like, you got to let the crack in lawyer, Sidney Powell, who we remember, who was like that woman who was clearly called back to her home planet as well, based on how she was speaking in public, was like, yeah, everything's a fraud. And, she lost nearly every decision that when she was submitting stuff to try and gum up the election results or tabulations, every time she was losing, and then been sanctioned since because they're like, you did all of this in such bad faith. Like, there's no way you could ever call yourself a lawyer. But
yeah, every judge that she's gone in front of, like, including the like just
Trump-appointed ones.
Yeah, the Trump-appointed ones who might as well have a Confederate flag like behind their, you know, judge stand. Not bench, I think they're called.
You can't just pump fake evidence in a trial.
Yeah, like this is not like how reality works.
So she said, so this text she sends to Meadows says, quote, sounds like Sydney and her team are getting inundated with evidence of fraud. Make a plan, release the Kraken, and save us from the left taking America down.
Boom.
Boom. So starts to make sense why Clarence Thomas may have been the lone dissenting vote there or voice in that decision. Because, yeah, it's stuff like this that would come out.
That is truly, it's wild. And at the same time, it is to be expected because, like, this is just what the right is in modern America. It's just completely detached from any version of reality that makes sense. Like, 53 wrong turns later, you end up at the very beginning of like what the ideas their theory is based on.
But plus side, great husband.
Right? I mean, a sweetheart.
I mean, that would have caused some problems if he came home and she's like, oh, so you went 9-0? You went with all of them? Really, Clarence? Really, Claire? He's like, I'm sorry, babe. It's a bridge too far for me. Oh, you're sleeping on the couch. You're in the doghouse, Clarence. But yeah, it is one of those things, too. You see how, again, their aims are quite literally to involve all three branches of government in trying to overturn the election on some level.
Yeah. Like, I guess, you know, this seems like, okay, this is obviously a bridge too far. There will be pressure for him to step down. Maybe he steps down. Like, that is my pre, you know, 2016 thinking, getting in the way.
He's done.
Like, yeah, this is just going to, like, if anything, I could see this being like, the left is like attacking, the woke mob's attacking Clarence Thomas. And like that, this like causes the right to like double down on like making sure Clarence Thomas doesn't resign.
And you,
which
know,
was or at least there were rumors that he was considering it at one point.
Well, yeah, and let's not forget, he's, as of this recording, I believe we haven't heard anything about his condition since he went in the hospital.
So as of this recording, actually, this morning, which is days ago for our listeners, he was discharged from Washington, D.C. hospital Friday morning, a week after he was admitted for what court spokesperson described as an infection. Yeah.
COVID-19
infection. I'm going to tell a completely unrelated story to okay. this. When I was a kid and I got caught, I think it was like I forgot an important homework assignment or like I fucked up in some way that like I knew I was in trouble with my mom. And I came home and I was like, oh, my stomach. Oh, damn. I'm real sick. Like, because she didn't know yet. And I knew it was going to come out. And then she was real worried about me. And then she was like, hey, I'm looking in your backpack. And like that assignment that you are supposed to like be working on is not here. And I was like, oh damn, I think I forgot it. And she was like, is this why you're sick?
Like, that's hilarious. No. I mean, he could be doing that.
I'm just saying, he knew this shit was about to drop.
He's like, I got an infection.
Oh boy. Uh-oh. My guts. Get me out of here.
I mean, there is, like, I didn't feel great when I was claiming to feel sick because I knew some shit was coming down on me. Right. Like, you know, there's a story the other day about the dude who that song Driver's License is about. Like, he was hospitalized, like, after that song, like, hit, and everyone was like, yo, fuck this dude. I mean, he's a child, but, like, he was hospitalized with, like, heart failure for, like, a week.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's maybe he's like just feeling guilty or like, you know, like the telltale heart kind of thing.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I mean, you'd hope so. But yeah, we'll see where this goes. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, imagine if this was fucking Ketanji Brown Jackson's partner. You know what I mean? what would have happened, or even Sotomayor, any of the liberal justices, you know, like what would have happened if this kind of shit came out. And granted, there were some things about Ginsburg's husband for sure. But in this instance, like, you know, Fox News would have a fucking meltdown. And you're like, and then like, it's funny when you watch on channels like MSNBC, people are like, well, you know, like, imagine what they would be doing right now. They would melt down if this was another justice. And it's like, well, this is pretty fucking big, too. But I think the problem is not that it's a problem, is that what you're inevitably going to come up against is that the conservatives are going to say, oh, you're going after the one black conservative justice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, OK, that's what this is about. That's what this is about. And you're like, you, hold on, you're not about to do that. When we saw you put up, do that straight up racist circus with the confirmation hearings for, you know, Ketanji Brown Jackson, let's stop this. But, you know, that's where they're going. And I was reading a few places where they're trying to really make sure that, like, Clarence Thomas is almost like has that appeal or that like mythos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg did for, you know, Big D Democrats. Like they want people to feel like they're like, that's our guy. But
yeah, I mean, I just went to Fox News just to like triple check that they aren't covering this at all. And the top story is unearthed emails. I was like, what? Make alarming revelation. What? Uh-huh. About CDC's COVID-19 school reopening guidance. So don't, nothing to see here.
Yeah. All right. Let's actually switch gears really quick to talk about this OkCupid polling that came out that has been widely discussed, especially because it sort of aligns with other polls that have come from like dating sites when they're just trying to do a quick vibrational check on the users of the apps and their services. And this latest sort of survey that they did with their users, you know, they stumbled upon an issue that unites and divides potential mates more than anything, which turns out it's climate change. They say climate change or climate denial, quote, was the biggest deal breaker for users on the popular dating app, surpassing differences on gun control, abortion and other issues. Over the past year, the app has asked 250,000 people if it was important that a potential paramour care about the planet. And 90% said it was. So that's pretty good. 90% of people are like, yeah, if you don't fucking acknowledge Earth death, like in general, how are you going to like be good at anything that involves paying attention to me or having a future? And it makes sense because considering that around 45% of young people in a recent study in The Lancet said that like 45% of young people have had like emotional distress over the state of climate change and looking at the dire fucking straits we're in and like the lack of movement around anything, not only has it negatively impacted their emotions, but just impacted their ability to enjoy just their day-to-day life because it's something that's like looming in the back of their head. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You don't want something that you're freaking, it's like racism, right? If you're like, I don't want to be with somebody who's like, racism's not real. I'm like, well, yeah. Well, we're not looking at the same fucking universe. So I get the idea, too, for something like climate change that is so, it's an existential threat that people are looking for this kind of overlap, you know?
It's interesting that it ranks higher than certain other issues that they like.
That's what, yeah.
Like you said, abortion is like less. But well, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, 'cause if you're not religious, then you're like, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, this is just a snapshot, you know?
I'm not on OkCupid or nothing like that, so I can't speak to, you know, the clientele that they have. And I also care about the planet. I care about climate change. You know, I want this planet to survive for my great, 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 great grandchildren. I'll never know. But
right.
If we about to get down and she like, you know, I don't think the earth is warming, I'm still going to tap that ass. And then, you know, I probably won't come back. You know what I'm saying? I probably won't come back. So, but get the fuck out of here.
So this isn't a mate.
What do you mean? Oh, like a relationship?
I'm trying to formulate a joke in my head, and maybe you guys can help me with this. There's something to this is a new version of hot or not. You know, this is like some kind of the like, I can't quite come up with what I want to say, but you get it. You get what
right,
I'm
right,
saying.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
Like, how do we?
I'm just saying, like what Paige said.
No, I.
this is on the, if there's a lot of stuff you could say in the bedroom, like that would make me be like, all right, we got to go. And climate change is probably lower on that list
Well, yeah. I kind of feel like these people taking this survey, just there's also an element of like wanting to look like a good person, you know, being like, oh, I would never date somebody if they said that. Mm-mm.
They're like, I'm currently in a relationship with a diesel engine, but that's a whole other story.
And but I mean, it's complicated, and you know, we have a history, and
yeah, and it was my grandpa's truck, and like that's a whole other like hour of story. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
but the thing, like you're saying though, this is, and you do kind of have to look at this in its context, right? Because these aren't necessarily indicative of the entire country. These are people who are on a dating app, who and users tend to skew, like the average age is around 32, 33. They're typically living in cities because those are the people mostly using that are on like OkCupid or other dating apps. And also, too, to your point, Jaquise, they're not looking just for the smash. They're looking for an eternal life of smashing. So I get you. Look, okay. Who among us hasn't heard some weird shit that you don't agree with? And you're like, well, I'm not going to let this, like, honestly, I'll compromise my beliefs in this moment because I don't want to be alone right now.
Yeah. And as the world is ending, by the way, you know,
right?
Yeah,
you're with a person and you're debating why the world's ending as it's ending.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Oh,
they're fucking hot though. So
this is just the person that literally the world is ending around you, and the person you're with is like, but this is just the natural cycle that the earth goes through. This has happened before,
right?
And.
It's actually getting cooler.
So Global warming is like confused. Like, that's not what's happening.
No, it's a nuclear winter, basically, what we're experiencing. And they said it was warming, right? So yeah, it'll get like, hot again.
And it's like, you girls are always cold. So I don't even know.
And don't steal my hoodie in the apocalypse. So, you know, when you look at like sort of the gap between like men and women who are like looking at this, there isn't much of a difference. Like both men and women that were surveyed in this were saying like, yes, it's important. Were they asking non-binary people? And maybe not so much because this is a, you know, it's OkCupid. It's not, they're not necessarily have like maybe the most inclusive polling infrastructure. But when you look at this though, there's a lot of people like in a few articles talking about this polling stuff, they bring up this concept of like petro-masculinity, that there's this inherent interconnectedness between like sexism, climate denial, and authoritarian politics. Not that it's like a nailed on thing, but it is something that you see intersect a lot. And I think you see that already with the kinds of like big truck culture. You know, like trucks are basically almost exclusively marketed towards like men. I know people who buy trucks who don't even, they're not even in like doing some fucking hard construction shit. They just like a big fucking truck, and that's fine. That's their shit. But like, you know, like rolling coal and like drill, baby, drill, all this shit have all these sort of like, you know, like they have this masculine energy to them where they're being presented as sort of masculine ideals. Like if you blow fucking black exhaust out of your car, that you're more of a man than someone who drives a fucking hybrid, right?
But that is true though, Miles. That is just true, what you just said.
Yeah, you're, well, and look, we saw Marjorie Taylor Greene say it herself, electric cars are gay. Okay,
yeah.
So.
I mean, listen, she's the authority, right? You know, she's elected for a reason, right?
Right. To be the arbiter of what is masculine and not. Yeah. And you also like look at these like truck commercials too. Like you almost think that having like biceps the size of Christmas hams were like a fucking prerequisite to owning like a gigantic truck or whatever. Not to say that everybody who drives a truck is bought in on this, but that's just the way certain things are like marketed, right?
Yeah.
And you even look at how like when the Green New Deal was being touted, everyone immediately focused their energy on like AOC's a fucking witch who's gonna take away my big monster truck tires and hamburgers, and I hate this shit. And you can already see like how, you know, like how Greta Thunberg is even constantly in the crosshairs of like conservative, like hyper misogynist conservative movements and shit like that, that you're kind of like, oh yeah, there is this sort of, you see it kind of swirling together. There is this interesting thing that it even you know, affects, you know, the idea that like caring about the earth is like feminine or less masculine. There was a Penn State study that found that like cishet men were reluctant to engage in, quote, eco-friendly behaviors like carrying reusable shopping bags for fear of appearing feminine or gay. The more important it was to a man that he be perceived as straight, the more wary he was about engaging in these small acts of care for the planet.
Wait a minute. So they're saying that it's gay to have like shopping bags, like when you buy shit. Is that what they're saying?
This poll has found that it's clear that there is a group of men whose masculinity is so fragile to enter a supermarket with a reusable bag. Hey, is that gay, fellas?
Now, see, you know, times have changed, man, because back when we were younger, Miles and Paige, you know, to being a real man was, I'm going to carry 30 bags of groceries into the house in one trip, you know? And now you can't even have bags no more.
I'll just carry everything loose.
Carry everything loose.
Like, oh, look at you using bags.
Keep moving these goalposts, man. Shit, my arms ain't that big no more.
Also, for someone, bags pile up. You know, before I was using reusable bags, you would have like a whole section of your house was all these loose fucking bags you came home with, and you know what the fuck to do with them.
Well, eventually, I'm going to need to put a wet bathing suit in this because
right. Exactly. I might someone might have muddy shoes that they can take their wet Vans home in this bag. But
you might
accidentally poop
yourself
and
need to set your clothes on fire. You need a bag.
Great example.
Right. So it's not that caring about the earth makes you feminine. But again, that's just an interesting sort of dimension that people are like sort of looking at. It's like this idea, like that the very, very rigid, sad thinking concept of masculinity, that like thinking of the future and what is like good for the health of the earth makes you less of a man.
Well, it's kind of similar to like how men are more likely generally to like self-medicate and not like seek help. It's just like it feels like another element of that of like, there's nothing wrong. Like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Are you fine? Like, why are we carrying bags to the grocery store? Right. I don't know what's going on.
They're like, you don't want to carry bags? I don't want to talk about carrying bags.
I'm not carrying a purse into the grocery store. Like,
what? Yeah. Keep wearing that face diaper. What? All right, dude.
Maybe they should put something on the bags that they sell at the grocery store, something masculine, you know, maybe flames, something, you know,
to make it
on there.
Like reusable bags, like an eagle with like a 4-foot dick or some shit.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example. Yeah.
Yeah.
A 4-foot dick.
And it's coming rockets. Yeah.
You want to feel masculine? Let me hold this bag with a bear dick on it.
With a big ass bird dick. I mean, dude, people already want to put a ball sack on their truck, so why not? Mm-hmm. You know,
but
that shit's tight. Not because I wish my toe hitch was like a chody dick on the back of my car. The fuck are you talking about?
We don't hear the term chode enough anymore. You know,
no.
Thanks for bringing it back.
I mean, I don't know. It felt like that was a very West Coast thing. You know,
yeah,
West Coast chodes.
Okay.
West Coast Jones. All right. Shout out to my West Coast Jones.
New TV show. West Coast Customs.
Right, exactly. Hey, and I'm X to the Z exhibit. And we're going to check out this sick new chode. We hooking up your chode. It got the PlayStation in the back. All right, player. Exhibit, not actually from California. Not many people.
We used to be a proper country. Back when MTV was pimping our rise and showing our cribs.
Do you ever drive by the West Coast Customs right there by the Empire Center?
Oh, yeah.
In Burbank?
Yes.
Yeah.
And just sigh? So for people who aren't from, I know a lot of people are like, man, some people, they talk about LA too much. So here's a little insight, folks. The West Coast Customs shop, I don't know if it was there during the filming of the show. It may have been, but it's in Burbank, California, and it's right down the street from this big ass shopping center called the Empire Center, where it's like the Best Buy and all that shit is in Burbank.
Walmart, Target. Everything.
Exactly. And you drive by, like, whenever I drive by it, I slow down for a second to, like, try and just see if I can see something happening in there. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And all they do is just, like, give you, like, tuned up Ford Focuses out of there.
Yeah. I've never been. I should go in and just check. I've lived a mile away from it for 10 years, and I've never been to it. I pass it up all the time. I should go to it one day. See what they can do. See what they can do with my vote.
Go in there. What was that one dude's name? Mike? Wasn't there a guy named Big Mike or something?
Oh, Killer Mike? Oh, no, Big Mike. Yeah, Big Mike.
Mad
he died.
Mike? Remember? What? Mad Mike?
I think he died. Fat Mike or Big Mike? The Mike? Mike died. Yeah, Mike died.
I mean, a lot of these like reality shows that we grew up on, a lot of people who are on them are now dead. It's like,
yeah, man.
It's a pretty huge bummer.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
Yeah, I was like watching Robin Big on Pluto TV over the pandemic, and I was like having such a great time. I was like, I forgot about this show, and then I remembered, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, that Chris.
I think that's what I'm thinking about. Rob died. Rob from Robin.
No, Mike. No,
Big.
Black
Big.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Rob's
everybody
still,
on MTV is dead. They all
anyone
gone,
on
man.
Pluto TV, probably.
Is dead.
Yeah. Q's still there. Mad Mike. Okay, he's still there, I think.
Okay.
He bailed on the show. Then he's starting on the Galpin Autosports, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I don't
Galpin,
think anybody died.
If you need a Ford. Get it at Galpin.
You can get it at Galpin. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about something else after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Just quick question. I know, Illingsworth, you like sci-fi. You got an imagination. Jaquise, I know you like movies. You've got an imagination. Do you ever watch films? And have you ever watched like a human, like a Mission Impossible type film, a Jack Reacher, a James Bond, and been like, yeah, I think I could pull off that stunt. Or like, yeah, I think I could jump
all
between
the time.
Trees. You know what I mean?
I think I would
try and die immediately.
Right.
That's what I think.
Yeah. No, I think I would live.
As a kid, did you, I don't know, I would always kind of look at stuff and be like, I wonder if I could actually do that. Like, I wonder, like Indiana Jones films used to fuck with me. Like, I remember putting a fucking pole in the spokes of my own bike because I saw Indiana Jones do that to a Nazi in a movie and he flew off the bike. And I was like, I got to see if that shit works. It worked. And I damn near fucking busted my skull on the pavement.
Wait a minute. You put, while you were riding, you like stuck a fucking pole
put a stick.
In your...
Yeah, put a stick in the front.
Yeah, nah, spoke. I wasn't doing all that shit.
Oh, no, yeah.
I wasn't doing all that. Yeah.
People think I'm smart. Yeah. I'm not. Okay,
you should have did the one where Indiana Jones shot an unarmed man. That was would have been a much easier one. Yeah, that would have hurt
yeah,
you
that's
less.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know.
I want to do the shit where I'm not looking at the hero getting hurt and be like, man, I wonder what it would be like to get hurt.
I was just more like, I was in my mind, I was like, man, stop capping Indiana Jones. That shit don't work. And then I was like, fuck. Like, I don't know what the fuck I thought. And yeah,
it's too well.
Speaking of, shooting the unarmed person, I mean, look, I don't have time to do the 3 weeks of police training to get a gun so I can shoot an unarmed person. Come on now, I got games to play, weed to smoke. But, you know, so I ask you this because there's this casting call went out for this new game show that I think Amazon is putting out with some other production company, but it's essentially testing people's 007 gangster with like physical fucking tests. I'll just read this to you. This is the sort of conceit of this upcoming show. Quote, it will take place at historic locations scooped from seminal Bond films, meaning the Icelandic glaciers from Die Another Day and Florida's 7 Mile Bridge from License to Kill. They're all fair game. Contestants will compete for a cash prize of £1 million. Hey, because, you know, this is keeping it James Bond, or $1.3 million. Although passing physical obstacles will be a major component, ideal contestants must also demonstrate their intelligence by answering questions correctly to qualify for the next round. We don't know exactly what the tests are, but this is I like anything that takes somebody's like hubris and puts it to the test. Like, remember Joe's versus Pros? They used to be on Spike TV.
Oh, very vaguely.
Okay, so Joe's versus Pros were these like dudes who were like, yo, I'm the best fucking hooper at my fitness club. Or like, I was a college prospect in football. And they're like, okay, go against Marshall Faulk. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, play one-on-one with Brian Scalabrine or something, you know what I mean? And they would just get cooked. Mm-hmm. And it was always fun. Like, this guy's like, I'm the best hitter in my local baseball league. And they're like, all right, go against this retired pitcher. And they would just get fucked up. And it was like all this show to kind of humble these people who had, you know, bigger ideas for what they were able to do. So in my mind, this is like, I can already see like the goofy contestants who are like way too confident in their skills and getting all fucked up in the first couple challenges.
This is putting me in the mind of like Ninja Warrior, which is a show that I used to watch back in the day. Like, I love shows like that where it's just like normal people trying to do outstanding feats and failing.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, bring it on. I'll check out an episode or two.
It's the reason why I did Tough Mudder, because I would be it's no secret I watched The Challenge.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, man, I can do that shit. I can do a final, like all the shit they be doing in there. Cause they do like movie type, like stunts and stuff for their challenges and things like that. That's kind of what it's based off of. So I was like, all right, what's the closest thing got? Cause I'm too old to be on MTV now and nowhere near attractive enough. But like, I was like, what's the closest thing I can do? Tough Mudder. Let's go. So hell yeah, I would do this shit. I wanna where to sign up? You got the sign up link?
That's funny that you bring up The Challenge, because I was like, I know Jaquise would this would be up your alley just to try your James Bond skills.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're like, are you supposed to like clap a machine gun off on a jet ski or something? Like, how
on The Challenge?
Yeah, no. Like on this show, like if you're really gonna do your James Bond shit, like how I can't imagine it's really firearm centric, because that would just present a huge safety risk. Be like, yeah, and these amateurs are shooting guns too from moving vehicles, but
alcoholism challenge,
right? Exactly. They're like mourn all the women you got killed challenge.
Which, how many women can you sleep with challenge? Oh, there we go.
Yeah, they're like, actually, no, this show's all bad. They're like, how many women can you disrespect challenge as James Bond?
Right. How many authorities can you, not pay attention to?
The challenge, though, do you think? Because look, I like the challenge too, and I was texting you because I started binging. I cleared up. I had dead weight. I told you over the summer I stopped watching when DM passed away because that got too real for me. I was like, man, DM passed away. That was my him and CT and her. Wow, that was a love story for millennials. You know what I mean? And then when she passed away, I stopped watching. And then I got back into it. And the same shit was going through my mind, Jaquise, where I was like, fuck, man, could I do one of... I'm like, I could eat anything. I'm not worried about any eating challenges. I'll eat straight shit for a million. I don't give a fuck. Like, I can do that. It's like the long distance uphill running that terrifies me when I watch those challenges. Okay. And like, I see those, especially in like the later ones are like, this is the hardest one of all time. And you got to go up and like run through the Sahara naked. I was like, okay, maybe not. But
yeah,
how did you feel going from I can do this to actually trying something like that?
I mean, you know, if I was in my 20s, I probably would have been like, I was like, hell yeah. I can do this. I can do this. I can fucking do this. Just get me on the field. Now in my 30s, my mindset is, I can do this. I can do this. I just need about 3 or 4 months of training first. So like, you know, I've shifted my mindset where, you know, I can probably do some stuff, but I need to first see what exactly am I going to be doing and then train toward that. So when I get there, then I can do it, you know. So, like, that's where it is now. I had to train for it, you know, because if I would have just went out there willy-nilly, Tough Mudder was like 9 miles, 25 obstacle courses. I wouldn't have lasted on a third of that shit.
You know, low-key, they were like, hey, would you guys be open to, they're asking Jack and I, like, would you want to be do a Tough Mudder sponsorship? They're like, and compete in the thing. And Jack and I are like, bro, we'll die in the condition we're in. They're like,
yo, I'll do that shit. Send them to me.
There's one coming up next week. I'm like, the fuck out of here.
Next week.
Tough Mudder in 1 week.
That's too short notice.
Honestly,
tell iHeart to go ahead and give me another podcast, and then and have Tough Mudder sponsor me,
right?
And I'll be there.
We'll do a new podcast there, called,
and then I'll quit the podcast.
As I call the challenge, the Chuggy Olympics, the Chug Olympics for the old millennials, and it's about two old ass millennials trying to get their bodies right to do a challenge or a Tough Mudder or this James Bond show. I don't know. That's good. That's a good branded show. Oh, yeah. Come on, sales. Yeah.
It is. It is. Illingsworth, you got to be there, man. Just by proxy.
You were here.
You got to be there. You were here.
I mean, I'm at the point where I can look at the first challenge and be like, oh, maybe I can do the first challenge. I don't think I would be able to get past
when you watch
number two, though.
When you watch Ninja Warrior, you're like, okay, I could do the little uneven foot thing. I could get across that little uneven foot bridge.
Maybe.
I really want to try and get up that wall. You know what I mean? That ramp wall, that's usually at the end of stage one.
Oh, where you have to like build up the vertical momentum wall. And run up and pull yourself.
Like a half pipe?
Yeah, I can't do that. I got the bird chest. Tweet, tweet.
I want to try. See, I just want to be humble.
Tweet, not going to be able to do it. I'm sorry.
Well, then maybe we'll just stick to the James Bond shit.
I still want to do the aggro crag from Guts.
Ooh.
Oh,
you remember that shit?
Classic.
Fuck yeah.
I still want to do that shit. I want to do that. Hell yeah.
I would do that. I would even go Legends of the Hidden Temple. Come on, Olmec.
Yes.
I don't care how culturally insensitive this shit is.
Right. I'll kill that silver monkey, baby.
Yeah.
doing all that exertion, getting all them jump scares to win like a stereo.
Right, exactly. Pretend you're in this video game.
Or a bicycle.
Yeah.
No, right. Children's That's bicycle. Exactly.
What you got was a translucent cord phone for your room, plus a 4-night vacation from Outrigger Hotels Contiki in Hawaii. It was like always like Outrigger in Hawaii, giving you a Honolulu vacation. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw I went to Hawaii and I saw the Outrigger Hotel. All I could think of was like, this was a prize on every Nickelodeon show was to come to this hotel. And my wife was like, yo, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, just let me have my elderly moment by myself.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm here at the Outrigger.
Yeah. It's a Nickelodeon timeshare.
You're right.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show. if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.